Hello, dear friends. Once again, it is time for our midweek Bible study right here on our website. We want to thank you for joining us today as we gather around the Word of God, as we begin to espouse and embrace truth today. You know, the Scripture says in John's Gospel, chapter 8, that if we continue in His Word, we will know the truth, not just intellectually, but experientially as we embrace it and apply it to our life. And the truth will make us free. And I might add, the truth that makes us free will certainly, most certainly, keep us free. Free from error, free from deception, free from the devil's lies. Praise God. Amen. I heard the story of a pastor who, a man in his congregation, came to an appointment in his office, and he said, "Pastor," he said, "the devil keeps telling me I'm lost. The devil keeps telling me I'm not saved. The devil keeps telling me that I could never, ever be saved, and it's tormenting me night and day. Do you have any word for me?" And he said, "Yes, I do. Quit listening to the devil." Listen, friend of mine, the devil is a deceiver, and that is the way that he destroys, through lies and deception, a murderer from the beginning. And put the truth before him, and he's going to have to flee. That's why the mighty sword of the Spirit is the sword of truth. Praise God. All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. On the subject, think on these things. Think on these things. Put it in context. We're going to begin reading from chapter 4 and verse 6. And this is a very familiar verse of Scripture. and we need it now more than ever. Listen to it carefully. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Be careful means don't worry about anything. It sounds like an impossibility in our fear-driven world today, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking at the things which are coming upon the earth. Listen carefully. Distress of nations with perplexity, another sign just beneath that. Because they can't figure out the answers, they can't address all the things that are coming upon the earth. It's like dark storm cloud is coming. We see it coming. We sense it coming. We know it's coming. We don't know how bad it's going to get, but we know there's no escaping it, and we know that no one can just make it go away. So we have to be prepared. How can we prepare? How can anyone prepare mentally, emotionally, and above all, spiritually, for end-time events that mark the coming of the day of the Lord, the tribulation, and the soon coming of Jesus Christ? Listen carefully. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now that is the foundation for peace in the midst of chaos, crisis, trouble, and the things that are coming upon the earth, that we see the beginning of sorrows has begun. The last days are here, and Jesus is coming soon, and that is our hope. In the meantime, we're to occupy until He comes. And God wants us to have peace in this time. And through that peace that we have, and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that will mark us as different, diametrically different from the world about us. The Scripture said of the wicked, and the Bible says of our world today, the world today, and has been since the fall, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, you shine, you stand out, amen, as lights in the world. What makes us stand out? Having peace in this time and hope in this time. The scripture said the wicked are as the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God, unto the wicked. Like the troubled sea, there's such a storm on the top that even in the depths of the sea, at the bottom is being affected by the storm that is on top. They can't find peace. They can't drink away the fear and worry and concern. They can't shoot up enough drugs. They can't have enough sinful activities. They can't buy enough stuff to fill that vacancy in their heart and give them this hope. But what can and what will is the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friend of mine, the world needs some good news bad. We have good news to bring. I love that old gospel song. I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. That's news with you I'll share. I plan to take a trip on the good old gospel ship, go sailing through the air. How about you, Christian, today? Are you looking at the things which are coming upon the earth and becoming sick with worry and feeling that helpless, hopeless feeling? God wants to reverse that in our life. He wants to make us lights, make us stand out. And what is so outstanding is a faith that quells our fears, quiets our minds, and gives us hope in the midst of the hopelessness. The Bible said the world, and outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the Christian faith, is without hope and without God. And that's why. But we are serving the God of hope. We're not like others. You see how we shine? It's not our bumper sticker. It's not our lapel pin. Amen. It's not the fact that people know we go to a church somewhere on Sunday. Amen. It's because we have peace and we have hope and they don't have it. And if they ever want to know where to get it, because we are standing out. The Bible said we're to be instant in season, out of season, ready to give an at all times, in every circumstance, to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that's in us. And the reason for that hope is because we have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, repenting of our sins, being reconciled unto God, and having the promise until He comes, He is with us here, and when He comes, we're going to be with Him there. Praise God. Whether we sleep, in other words, whether we are in the grave, in the ground, or whether we are alive, when the trumpet sounds, the dead are going to rise, the dead in Christ only, and we who remain as Christians will be caught up with them ever to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're not like others, you see, who have no hope. That's what makes your light shine in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation. It is your and my peace and our hope that gives us the opportunity to be a witness to this world of the validity of our faith. This is not just wishful thinking. No, it is not. This is a hope that is anchored to a truth in the Word of God, that will live on after this world as we know it is no more. Praise God. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, but this old one is not going to stay just like it is. Well, as we go on, remember, it's trusting our concerns to Him in prayer, and then so that He can grant this peace that passes all understanding. Listen, there's another verse here. Verse 8. Finally, my brethren, finally, brethren, think on these things, is our title. Listen, finally, brethren, so God can give you that peace and develop that hope in you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, you're going to have to look away from the news long enough to do this. You're going to have to meditate on the Word of God. Amen. You're going to have to meditate on the God who gave His Word to us as well. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, you have to look away from that series on Netflix if you want something pure to meditate on. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now listen, this is part of being in a position for God to give us and grant us, after we've trusted Him with all our concerns and worries, the peace that passes all understanding. Look at verse 9. Those things which you have heard both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Sensing that presence of God and the peace of being right with God, hallelujah, and the hope that His presence, His Word, His promise gives us, listen, you're going to be outstanding without even trying. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's take these one by one. Think only on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8. First, think on the things that are true. Satan seeks to control our minds through lies. According to John's Gospel 8 in verse 44, says he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan brought a subtle lie to Eve and appealed to her mind, and she was deceived into making a decision to disobey and disbelieve God. He has not changed his tactics to this very day. Look at 2 Corinthians, or mark it down, chapter 11 and verse 2. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, friend, the Holy Spirit seeks to influence your mind and mine through the truth, through the Word of God, as we meditate upon God who is the God of truth, and on Jesus Christ who is the personification of truth, the Word made flesh dwelling among us, and the Word of God, which is truth, and the Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, the Holy Spirit seeks to influence our mind because why? He's the Spirit of truth. He doesn't just give us a liver shiver on Sunday morning. And don't get me wrong, I'm Pentecostal. I enjoy entering into the presence of God. I don't want just a schoolroom or a college classroom. I want to learn. I want knowledge, but I don't want it void of the person of Christ and the presence of God being manifest. I worship the Lord and expect fully to experience the sense of His holy presence, because where two or more of us gather in His name, there am I in the midst of them. It should make a difference that He's in the midst of us. Praise God. Amen. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when He comes, the Scriptures teach us, He will guide us into all truth. And He does it by revealing the Word of God, the truth of God, through the Word of God to us. Listen to John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God is true. And as we meditate on the Word of God, our minds are permeated with truth. And here's some things that truth will do for us today. Truth will disarm deception. Truth will it's the only thing that will and the only thing that can. That's why the Bible said that if you continue in my word, John 8, 30 and 31, if you continue, it's prefaced and predicated on staying in the word of God. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And one of the things we're made free from is the deception that will mark the end times that we are living in right now. Because one of the great threats of the end time is deception. Many false prophets, Jesus said, will go out into the world and deceive many. Deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. That is what creates the great falling away, the falling away from the faith before the Antichrist, just before the Antichrist comes on the scene and is manifest, and the tribulation begins shortly after. Listen, truth will disarm deception. The sword of the Spirit, hallelujah, which is the word of truth, the word of God. Truth will defeat worry. That's how this peace is able to counteract and transcend all of the concerns that are legitimate concerns. But knowing that God is in control and that God holds us close to Himself and has promised to keep us through these times, we have peace of mind. Truth will disarm fear, and therefore truth will defeat worry. Hallelujah. Because it will disarm fear. Praise God. Truth will discern error, and that's how we are able to disarm the devil's great tool of deception. Truth will detect the devil when he's in operation. Amen. We will be able to discern the difference between good and evil, even when evil presents itself as good. That's why the Bible said, even if an angel bring another gospel, even if an angel come, and it's an angel, we're seeing an angel of light, not some demon of darkness, but this demon of darkness presented himself as an angel of light. And when he speaks contrary to the truth of God that has been delivered to us, let him be anathema, which is the strongest condemnation, the curse of God be upon him, because he's leading people astray through that deception. And we need to be people that are growing in this meditation of the Word, receiving the Word of God, responding to the Word of God, applying the Word of God in every situation. Let God be true. Let Him have the last word. And every man and angel be a liar if it conflicts with the truth that was once delivered unto us. That's why we're told to earnestly contend for the gospel, for the faith. That means the body of truth through the gospel that was once delivered to the saints. What is it based on? Amen. The apostles, the prophets, and Christ Himself, who is the truth, and as the chief cornerstone. Put up a real fight for it, because there are many, even in religious circles, that are trying to dismantle the truth of it today and try to reshape the original faith into that will accommodate sins, that will cause people to be lost instead of saved if unrepented of. This is the deception of the devil, and it is strong. And God allows it when people reject truth and embrace a lie, reject and push back on the light that truth gives us, as David put it in the Old Testament, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." The entrance, he said, of thy word giveth light. Satan works in darkness. God works in light and truth. Hallelujah. Listen, that's why we're to put on the armor of light in order to defeat the prince of darkness. The Bible makes it clear why God allows strong delusion in the end times. They perish because they refuse to love the truth according to the Word of God, and so to be saved. For this reason, God sends them a strong or powerful delusion, so that they will believe the lie and will be condemned who have not believed the truth and have delighted in wickedness. Listen, simply put, God sends strong delusion to those who choose not to believe the gospel initially, those who take delight in mocking and rejecting Him. He allows the condemnation to come. It is a person's choice whether we accept and believe the truth of Jesus Christ. Now listen, friend, you have the choice today to believe or disbelieve. I have no choice but to bring the truth to you, because I'm going to answer to, oh yes, I could not do it. I could go with the flow. I could compromise and make concessions for the culture and try to integrate it into the truth of God, but it will not mix. God's word is truth, and Jesus said, "I am the truth." And friend of mine, if we begin to allow the dismantling of truth, there is no foundation left for our faith. And if the foundations be destroyed, the scriptures declare, what then shall the righteous do? Listen, it is your choice to believe or not. It is my choice to believe or not. But when I preach or teach the Word of God stands where it stands. We do not alter it. We dare not speak something that is clearly stated in the Word will put your soul in jeopardy. Listen, the effeminate, the abuser of themselves with mankind, the idolater, hath no part in the kingdom of God. Don't let someone ever tell you you're all right when you're not all right according to the scripture. We're going to be judged by God's word, not by what some conclave of some, they call it a holy conclave, getting together to vote on which parts of the Bible will to receive any longer and which parts are antiquated and now we reject them. Let me tell you something about the God that we serve. He says, "I'm the Lord God of Israel. I change not." We are told in Proverbs to meddle not with them that are given to change. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus that walked the sandy shores of Galilee, walked the sandy roads of Galilee and the sandy shores of the River Jordan. I'm going to tell you something about Him. This same Jesus that went into heaven is the one that is coming back again. Not a Jesus that has been reinterpreted. Not a God that is being remade into man's image, but a God who ultimately wants us to be remade into His image. When He comes, we will know Him, for we shall see Him as He is, for we shall be like Him. We shall be changed. And in the meantime, we are to be progressively growing more and more God-like or godly rather than like the world around us. It's a choice that must be made in order for truth to bring the hope and the peace that we need and the deliverance from error that we need. We need to meditate on the truth of God in order to be set free and kept free. Listen, I have no choice if I fear the Lord at all, but to bring the truth of the gospel. It's not popular today, especially with all of those triggering issues that we are facing. Some of them are political, they're social, all the issues in the culture. If we address them according to the Word of God, it's going to absolutely condemn behaviors that will put our soul in jeopardy, particularly if the gospel itself is rejected. There's no back door to heaven. There's no circumventing Jesus Christ as the mediator between God and man. That's an unpopular message. What's popular today is, yeah, if you're going to believe in God at all, and most people are pushing back against the fact of God, the truth that He exists. But if you're going to believe that He exists, you can pick any way you want to get to Him, go to Him. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The Bible says of Him, there is one mediator between God and man. One mediator between God and man. And that is Jesus Christ. Why? Because His sinless, innocent blood is the only sacrifice that God would accept so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made right with Him, so that we could be reconciled to Him. Dear friend of mine, that's why Paul said, if you want this peace, it begins by thinking, meditating, gazing constantly upon truth in the Word of the living God. It's a choice that we have to make if we want this peace. Let God's Word speak louder than any of the newspapers, any of the people who are predicting what's going to happen. Let the Word of God tell us and hold on to it with everything that you've got. This is our hope. Hallelujah. And whoever has this hope of the soon return of Christ purifieth himself. We live in a state of readiness for His return. We are not entangled with the world. We are a separated, sanctified people. Praise God. We're in the world, dear friend, but we're not of it. So we don't buy into all of the philosophies and all of the people who are the influencers, if you please, of our culture. We simply do not follow what is trending. We follow what is true. I'm going to go over this list again before we close today. So much to discuss, so little time here today. The Word of God is true, and we are to meditate on the Word of God. Our minds are then permeated with truth. Truth will, without exception, disarm deception. It will defeat worry. It will defy fear. Hallelujah. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in You, David said. It will discern error. Strong meat, the truth of the Word of God, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, that by the reason of the exercise of their senses are able to discern good and evil. And good from evil. Praise God. It will detect the devil when the devil is disguised as an angel of light. And it will destroy his base of power. He is a murderer from the beginning. What is his foundation, his base of operations? It is because he is a deceiver. Because he lied to Eve, and because she chose to believe the lie over the truth of God and the God of truth. Amen. Listen, Isaiah puts it very clear in the Old Covenant. They have chosen their own ways, Isaiah 66, 3 and 4, and their souls delight in their abominations. So I, God, will choose harsh treatment for them and bring upon them that they dread. For when I called, no one answered, and when I spoke, no one listened. They did evil in My sight and chose what displeases me. That's why the world is in such crisis and chaos. And that's why fear is debilitating so many people, fill them with what sociologists call anticipatory anxiety. We don't know what's coming, but we know something is coming, and it looks bad. And the hope for a future is being taken away, and men's hearts fail them for fear and for looking upon what is coming upon the earth. What a time to live a life of hope and manifest the peace of knowing not just what's coming. We know it's coming too, but we know who's coming for us as the children of God. And we know the God of hope. And we know how powerful truth is in our life from the Word of God. Amen. For the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. Follow after hope. Praise God. And hope and peace and charity. Follow after love. All of this is represented when Paul says, if you want this peace, first trust God with your concerns, all of your worries, all of your fears. 1 Peter 5:7 puts it this way, casting all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. And the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. And here's how it happens, because you can't just stop. You come to the next verse. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, and you go down the list, think on these things. Literally, think only on these things. We got to get rid of stinking thinking. We're not like the world. We're not like others who have no hope. And when they see that in us, in you and in me, then we can share the reason for our hope, and that is Jesus Christ with them. Praise God. Well, we have much more to say, but our time is not just fleeting, it's flat out gone. And I feel like we're just getting our teeth into this message today and this word of truth that we are receiving today. Dear friend of mine, we're in the last of the last days. And if I am true to my calling, I have no choice. I have a choice, but I really don't see it as a choice. I dare not speak anything but what the Scriptures say. If you want to know what sin is, it can be clearly delineated in the Word of God. You want to know what will take you to hell and who will take you to heaven? Get in the Word of God, because that is the criteria that God is going to use. He's not a man that He should lie. He's not the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He not said it? Will He not do it? That can be both positive or negative. What He has spoken in His inerrant, eternal Word of God will outlast the world as we know it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will abide forever. And those that do His will are just as eternal as the Word of God that reveals His will. And it isn't His will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't run deeper into the darkness. Come to Christ. Run to Jesus. Don't run away. Don't choose darkness over light, as the light is shining to you right now. Come to Christ. He will save you if you repent of your sin. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit, literally mark you as His own, and keep you safe from the wrath to come, and give you peace right here, right now. Give you hope right here and right now, in Jesus' name.